Interview with Bert Bennett, December 18th, 1973. Not for attribution without permission.
I guess my first question really is, if you could just tell us a little bit about what is your role in North Carolina politics. Everybody we talk to, we say, who should we talk to about North Carolina politics and the Democratic Party? Bert Bennett's name is one of the first three that's mentioned.
Well, I was associated in a campaign, 60, in the Sanford campaign, party chairman. You just normally with some rub off, I reckon. I don't know, really, to be honest with you. I'm not in the mainstream as I was. I keep a finger in. I watch it. You like it. You got to like it, or you wouldn't touch it.
Were you active in politics before then?
Well, let's see. I've always liked it. I came back as chairman, I think, of the party here, and then went on as manager for Sanford Type. So I've always had a life. But I can't, my role as such is, other than liking it, I can't tell you any more that, I think I have a pretty good nose for it. I'm like Walter, he's gifted, and I don't know your background as much. I just know you by reputation. It was a beautiful race y'all ran it. First two rounds, and your latest, only one I know about because I haven't kept up with your history, but it was a honey. And that, but I haven't any ambition to run, to be appointed. I like to see good people in, really.
How did you become associated with Sanford?
Well, of course, I knew him at school, and whenever you take a person that wants to run, you on a statewide position, I gather he looks to where, you know, your potential is so limited. You take a man who wants to be governor, he's looking probably for a businessman as successful as possible that can give the time. Since he's from east, you look for some in the middle of the state type from a larger county. You would, other than about the same age, he would have preferred one older, I would assume. But other than that, though, I sort of fit the bill. So how many did he have to choose from like that? So this was how I came involved, really.
Had you been involved in a statewide campaign before?
No,
that?
No.
But you had gone to school with him?
Mm-hmm. And I was chairman of the party here at the county at the time.
How did you perceive Sanford at that time? I mean, what did he represent that attracted you, that made you want to give that sort of time? And what was it about him that attracted you, that made you think he would be a good governor for North Carolina?
Well, I think the first thing, as far as I look at, there are several things. I'm not sure they're in priority. But the first thing I look at, if a fellow has the gut desire, I'm talking about in here, more than in here, I'd have to say that's the first ingredient. If he has that real gut desire, and you can smell it early, you can tell it if he's eaten up with being whatever he's running for. I'd say that's my first. If he hadn't, it soon comes out. It soon comes out. For example, I think y'all's opponent, the last go-round, Taylor, say, I think he spent in his first part of the campaign telling people how tired he was. People don't give a goddamn how tired he was. They could care less. Friends, more so than enemies, or people on the street, they could care less. they want to know how well it's going or what he's doing and so forth, but not how tight he is, you know. And I think he spent a lot of time telling people how tight he was. It's that gut desire, that's one. Can he win? You don't just throw that out the window. Can he win? I fought losing causes. They are it for a while, but you can't stay. It's not a steady diet. You got to have a winner occasionally. You can't be always on just that losing cause side. With the association you have, can you sell him to your people? That's the key. Can you sell him? Does he have the stability, the makeup to be a good office holder, that which he's seeking? That he's not an embarrassment to where you're trying to push him and shove him in? They're all the things. They are mainly it.
Well, do you find many candidates will meet those standards?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't touch them if I don't. Let me put it that way. Or if you touch him, I know I've got it. I touched Pryor the second, you know, he had no chance the second round of our political class of 64 in a second round. I thought he could win the first. He did. I gave out a lot of time. I spent about a year in that, by the way, about a year for Sanford type. About 6 months for Hunt. When you say spend, basically spend, you sit here and you don't, and I sit here more, I don't stay in the mainstream, so I've learned that it's sort of like anything else, I'm not as much in there as I was in the 60s, not now. But yes, you find them, you look to that, and you look to your alternatives. Or how deeply do I get involved, and this is the reason you asked the question, what is my role? I'd have to say my role there are very few that have statewide connections that stay somewhat active. And I have, winning candidates and losing candidates. But somehow or another, we've pretty well kept, I don't say in a group or dedicated, but we've kept in touch. There are not many that you can go to that has a statewide network. And what makes them tick? Your people as well as what the opposition, and how to maneuver it politically in a county or in the 100 counties. I basically, as you say, like it. Life's been good to me. I feel that, as I say, I feel I'm gifted, to be honest. I have a lot of confidence politically, that I feel I can give some of this back to the right ones that want it. And under those guidelines, I just point out three or four things that I watch. I don't want a crook. I don't want somebody to tell me something and then do others. I want to defend one, that he's the right one to go and the right one to serve if he wins. I've always found one a lie to one, he'll lie to the other, or he'll cross one, he'll cross again, you know. So all of these things add up to my role. My role is sort of free. There's no string attached to it that I'd have to be paid off in any way. Anyway, I have no business with the state. I'm not looking for a damn thing. Satisfaction. And it is. You all know, it's when you package it and maneuver it, it's a challenging situation at best. There's nothing will beat it as far as any challenge, because it's something every day different. And to head it, to either indirectly head it. So it's, I think probably, you just to be real honest, that it's probably of trying to give back a little bit of that which has been given to me. But I think I can do better than I could in many fields that I cannot do. I'm not gifted, or not the talent nor the brains, but in this way, I can give.
Where in school did you know Sam?
Well, he was at Chapel Hill, and I was at Chapel Hill. I happened to be president of student body down there one year, that was my last year. He was two or three years ahead of me, and sort of liked at that time.
Who ran your campaign for student body president? Or did you run?
Nobody. Just a group of people like this. I can't, nobody ran. In fact, let's see. Yeah, I believe it was Bo Reynolds. This guy, I even forgotten who. But I believe he was, I believe we had co-chair, and I even forgotten now who. That's how far you remember.
You run for statewide office?
No.
Have you run for any office?
I ran one time for the Senate here in 66, maybe. I feel like it might be a pretty good time to serve. That it would bring me into the Senate, I thought, where I'd have no political obligations, and I would not want to serve in the Senate, say, if Sanford was governor, because I'd be looked to stamp whatever it was. I wouldn't want that role. But then when Dan Moore, I did not support him, I thought this would be a good time not just to be an enemy, but I thought it'd be a good time to serve. And then, of course, I got by with no opposition in the primary here and was pretty well, you know, thought you were set to go in. And then they had this backlash, real backlash, and everything was defeated here but one on the Democratic ticket. So I got weighed in by, I think it was 30 votes or 20 votes or something in the total. So I got defeated.
Who caused that backlash?
Oh, Lord, I don't know. But it really hit here and in several of the Piedmont counties.
Guilford,
but a lot of them, it really took them all, just wiped out everything. Sheriff, clerk of courts, just anything that was running on the Republican ticket won during that backlash. I don't know what it all, just a lot of backlash.
Was that just backlash in part to the Southern reaction to the Johnson administration?
I think that was some, I think, no question about that. Just, you just name it, you know. So.
Looking back over this whole 25-year period that we're covering, what have been the major changes in North Carolina politics that you've seen from 1948 to now?
Well, I wasn't active in the 48 other than just all the bystander until 1959, so really, I'm not really equipped to say back in there.
Let me ask you this question about the Sanford administration. What do you think have been the most significant contribution of that administration, and also what have been the lasting impact of it?
Well, I'd have to say probably in the field of education where he was known, in the innovations of community colleges, technical colleges, technical schools. Two or three of his things here, like the advancement school, school of the arts, the governor's school, these innovation in education. He was known as educating, and I think lived up to it. He got the support of them. I'd have to say that's no question was where he was known best and liked best, admired best. And, they still, I think, speak of him as the start of a better area, and I mean a better educational system in the state. And I'd have to say this is it. And you pass these, particularly these community colleges and technical schools that have really blossomed. And I think that he did a hell of a lot in that field.
What about the impact of his administration on the politics of the state? Whenever we go someplace to talk to people, we always run into people who are identified with his campaign or his administration, and they still maintain contacts. Maybe the contacts that you have are the same, but why is it that from that period of time, these contacts lasted and these people are still involved in politics, where you don't find that with Dan Moore or even Bob Scott?
That's correct. Well, I think Sanford is he by nature is like so many of them in that boat. He loves it, and he works at it. And he had that knack of, and at the time, to bring a tremendous amount of people around him that were never involved. The war was over somewhat of the 10 years to make money or to be into something that wasn't right in 48 running. I mean, 45, 46, you know, when just the war is not being settled. But he just, a whole group of people, as you talking about, that he got involved. And I think probably that's, he got so many people involved. And his great love for it. And he has a good nose for it. But it's true that that they have kept their involvement. And every time you look or talk to somebody today, it looks like he somewhat was involved in the Sanford administration or his campaign.
What is there about Sanford that does that? I mean, you don't find that. We don't find that with any other governor.
Well, I think he likes it better. I don't say he likes it better, say, in Scott. But I think Sanford's makeup is differently. He like anything, he works at it. And I think he's worked at keeping somewhat his ties even since then. The thing you question the most is the Wallace, his running into that office. You question that. I think that hurt bad.
Can we go back to that? Why did he do that?
I don't know. Want to be present. The longest shot on earth, but he was willing to take it, I gather.
We get the impression that almost every one of his old advisors he turned to and asked, and he all said, don't do it.
This is always the case when you lose. I don't know how many would have told you that if you'd have won. By some chance, if he'd been present, you wouldn't have found many to say that. I want to say that, and I think this is generally true. It's like when you lose a campaign, my God, you can find there's nothing better than those Monday morning quarterbacks. And everyone has a different theory why you lost.
This wouldn't have been the case, say, with Richardson Pryor when he ran for governor. He wasn't running against the advice of people, was he? His close supporters.
No, and of course the difference there is that you can tell a lot of more in the Richardson Pryor campaign is why he lost. You know, you get how he could have won. The question really was, why did he? I can't tell, really. I think Terry Sanford had in mind that long shot possibility, and he was willing to take. And I personally think he was wrong. But who am I to say? I wasn't out there. I'm not on that Washington scene, et cetera. But
did it hurt the Democratic Party in North Carolina?
I think possibly so. I don't think it helped anybody. Most of all, I could care less most about anything else but Sanford himself. I personally felt like at that time Sanford was probably North Carolina's most influential Democrat. That's one. I didn't feel like in any camp, faction of the Democratic Party, wherever Muskie, Humphrey, McGuire, that Sanford wasn't the one that you would contact, more or less North Carolina or South or what. And I think he had so much going for him, and what he wanted in the future, I don't think he particularly had plans, but this was such a long shot. It wasn't worth the gamble, as he knows in my conversation on several occasions.
Do you think the fact that he was sort of the symbol of North Carolina Democrats and then running against George Wallace in the primary helped break loose Eastern North Carolina, which was Wallace country, for Republicans in the general election?
Possibly so. Possibly so. I don't know whether if Terry had to do it all over again, whether he would take the same steps. I'm not sure. I'm not sure he visualized Wallace running, you know, at the time he made his decision. I'm not even sure that he visualized that, what a head-to-head confrontation with no others in it. I don't think he could have ever made his decision thinking he had a fair chance of losing North Carolina. I don't see how anybody could do that. So I say I'm not sure of the sequence of events that if he had to do over again, he'd do the same. I hate to say it because I don't think he lost his friendship with a number of people. They all like him, they admire him. He's a nice person. Really is he's a genuinely nice person. He likes people, he likes to help people. He's got a heart of gold. God knows how much he did at his own sake. So many times for every Tom, Dick, and Harry when he ought to be moving on, but he basically has a heart of gold. I don't think there's any question about that. He, of his limelight and all the things, he's somehow or another, he's still remained that human touch of kindness that he's still got in his heart to listen to people and their troubles and what he can do for people. And I think they sense that like you do any other sense of people, and I think that's kept people around them. That's why I think he's maintained his role as such and probably could do the same thing tomorrow.
You mean the same people that have believed in him?
Basically,
part of the so-called Sanford organization,
yeah.
Whatever that is, it still hasn't hurt him.
I don't believe so. I believe he, if it's a reasonable, now they wouldn't crank up on that presidential. They were divided. There's no, I just...
How about in the 76 presidential campaign?
I don't believe so, to be honest. Because I think he lost the bid once in the Wallace thing. I don't see anything has changed to basically to give him much position differently in 76 than it was in 72.
So you don't see any great enthusiasm building
I don't,
in the second round?
No. And I don't know whether he will try it or seek it, or, but I don't. I think it would be hard for him even to get his people, our people, however you want to speak about it, to get enthused again.
It's part of the problem that these are the same people who are going to be active in North Carolina political campaigns when you've got a governor's race and so forth going, that's where the energy should be spent. Is that part of it?
I think that part of the main thing is that they just see, they can't see the reason for it. They're such a long shot. If their talents are going to be used, maybe they can be used differently. So many of them did go down the road for him last time that they just can't go down again. It doesn't lessen their respect nor love for him, but I doubt if they would do it.
But as you say, without them, he really can't do it, can he?
I don't think so.
Now, if he wanted to run for governor again, say, just hypothetically, do you think that the whole group would come back to support him or something like that?
Well, you I think it depends on which one, maybe. Because it would be harder because he's given no indication of moving in either of those directions. And so many of the people have more or less gotten involved one way or another in other candidates or potential candidates and so forth. It would be harder. It would complicate it, make it difficult. It may lay out, be embarrassing. But I would say it would be rather difficult for him to move into the Senate or the governor's race just by the nature of his not being involved at a state level. And he's given, I gather, no indication he has any interest at the state level other than building a good party, stronger base for whatever future might be, not necessarily for him.
Yet he is interested in the presidency.
I don't think there'd be any question about that, or you mean in 76? I would think so. If he viewed it or looked at it in 72, you would certainly think with the Nixon downfall and McGovern downfall that why not him as a possible dark horse? I would say he probably does.
But unless he mobilizes that former organizational support fairly soon, it'll all be gone by
76. I think that's correct.
The 72 elections in North Carolina, of course, the Republicans winning the governor's seat, the U.S. Senate seat, the first time this century. Do you view that as a fluke, or does that represent a significant shift in North Carolina politics?
Well, I don't think it's a fluke. And I think it's just... we in North Carolina, I think it's a two-party system. I think so many of the so-called Democrats of the past, that we've had a solid base type, a lot of that base more or less was Republican-orientated to start with, you know. Then with all the rise of labor and the blacks, it I think so many of the Democratic base, they were looking for somewhere to go, but yet didn't want to be called Republicans, maybe. I don't know. So to answer yes, I think it's here. I think it's not, I don't think it's a fluke, and I think there'd be hard races every single time, primaries as well as general elections. And I don't look old to any 20 or 30 or 8 necessarily, even 8 years of Republicans just holding two. I don't think that. I think the odds will be against them in 76.
What do you think the Democrats are going to have to do to come back?
Well, you're talking about in North Carolina. Well, it's, I think, unfortunately, and I'm not sure anything can be done about it, but you really, today, is what you call a strong leader. You're really not sure what direction the party's going today. Though I think, personally, just sitting on the side watching, I believe the leadership is, I think, doing a good job from what I can see of trying to raise some money and being involved in a number of different things. I think they're doing well. I do feel like, however, that the person that's head of a party or his group is for one person or faction, and somewhat the people who do seek it or office or look into that have a tendency to shy away a little bit, thinking that all they're doing is building up that faction for opposition in the future. I don't know if there's anything can be done about it or not. I think that's probably just the name of the game. I don't think there's any question that we just can't have the image of McGovern type, regardless of what one thinks of McGovern. I don't think there's any question that we can't win with that in North Carolina. And you say moving back to whatever it is without quotas, broader base. I don't think you can get rid of the blacks just, you know, as such. It's a hell of a hat to wear when you want all that under one hat, you know, and then try to move with it and make them happy with the blacks and the labor. And I don't know. It's tough.
Do you see any individual putting the party back together? Do you see any individual emerging as a new Democratic Party leader?
Not necessarily, and it as far as I'm personally concerned, this is again is one person that I personally on Skipper. I don't see anything wrong with Skipper's interest, and I hope he continues because I think he likes it and. I can't think of a better person to sort of head the party than Skipper as such today. I do feel like if one like Skipper, say, decides to run again, and he's made his mind up to run again, I think he ought to probably step aside and let wherever it takes its course and not try to use the party as such to build his own thing. And this would be true of any candidate. But if I'm not saying I don't think he should run again. I think if he decides to, I think he'd probably be wise in sort of getting out of the role as so-called leader of the party.
We've had one person describe the North Carolina Democratic Party as being like a bird with no head and no body, with many, many wings all flapping at the same time.
I think when you lose, that's true. And I don't think it'll always be that way when you lose. And you have a Republican governor for the first time. But I can't give you any better alternatives. I mean, than what's all that's going on, have I? If I was sitting there running it, I'm not sure how much I'd do differently.
You see, with political role you may have in the future in the Democratic Party?
No, I wouldn't. You talk about, the, for instance, let's just assume that they say, well, how about your taking over? So I think that would be an error for the Democratic Party, and I wouldn't accept it, as chairman say. Because of my role, say, last time with Jim Hunt, they would have to be assumed that I would be in that corner in the future. And whatever I would do would be viewed for whatever, and I think with the Democrats as a whole. And I don't think that would be fair. And I think I'm labeled as such. And I don't think that would be good to lead the party and take hold of it and so forth. So I wouldn't accept it, and I would be wrong for them to offer it under any conditions. I think that'd be an error.
You think 1976 is likely to be a large number of candidates in the governor and Democratic primary?
When you say large, you talking about more than four, say?
Say more than three, anyway.
I doubt it. If it's more than three, I'm not sure it'd make a lot of difference. I may be wrong.
What do you think is now the effect of race on politics in North Carolina?
Well, not like it was by any means. But it's there.
Was that the key factor in Helms' victory or not?
I would think so. I would think so. They viewed Helms as going to eliminate the busing, all the government debt, you know, the things that sound good, you know, that to most Southerners, just like Wallace sort of talked their language, you know, they like what they heard. They didn't know Helms as well in the West because they didn't hear R.E.L. in his, whatever the hell he called his crap, viewpoint, or I've forgotten that what it was. I used to listen to it. But it reached the man in the street. He was on the side of what I think pretty much the vote, the way it goes in the state. Type, you know, is some as it went in the state. The Moore, I mean the Wallace, Helms. You can't argue with it, and what they said and what they preached and how they came across.
What do you think Eastern North Carolina voters are going to do in the future? I mean, the first time it really went Republican last time. Because somebody was decisive in the state races. Do you think the Democrats will get that vote back, or that it's pretty much changed over to Republican?
I don't think so, necessarily. From what you hear and what you see, that with the anti-Nixon feeling, and I really haven't got a feel for the whole House of thing yet. Maybe y'all can tell me, but I haven't got a real feel on the plus or minus for him. But I wouldn't think it's overwhelmingly plus, that is, you know, a real leader as such, and has been a real plus in office. Now, I don't know whether that's I sort of have a feeling that he may be status quo, you know, sort of like Dan Moore. With that, and if it prevails in 74 and 76 as it is today, I think that'll probably go pretty well back, pretty solid, the Democratic Party.
What do you think will be the key indicator in 1974 elections insofar as North Carolina? I mean, the legislative races, the congressional races, the U.S. Senate race?
I don't think congressional races will. I don't know why, but I really feel like the Washington thing will affect very little the congressional races. I may be entirely wrong, and I can't tell you why. but I don't believe there'll be any congressman pretty much in the district, elected or not elected, on the Nixon Watergate scandal. But I do feel like it'll probably have some bearing on legislative Raleigh races. And of course you'll get a pretty good feel, and should have by a year from now after the senatorial campaign.
Would those legislative races next year be a good indicator of Hose House's public confidence factor?
I would think so. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much he plans to get involved, but if he gets involved as he did in the chairman of the party's race, if he gets that level of trying to do work to get some Republicans in, it would have to be. Now, he'll put his name on the line, and I'd no question if he's successful on the plus side of bringing in some people and of his people, of his influence, and moving into these counties, it's got to have a direct bearing, I would think, on him.
How do you personally assess his administration so far? You said something like Dan Moore's.
Well, just to, again, you know, I'm not impressed, to be honest. The impression that he's sort of a nice fella, honest, maybe will do the right thing, I think still probably holds true. He's not going to rock the boat very bad. That's why I say probably he's still on the plus side as far as ratings. But the people he has around him or he's brought in are very unimpressive. I've seen very little done, you know, one, two, threes, you know. In fact, I haven't seen anything done. Pretty good, giving a grin and lighting the Christmas tree, but it's more to it than that, being governor, I think. And I'm not sure I think he's pretty much an image of a nice fella, but he's a damn Republican, first and always. I think his total allegiance, he's brought up, he knows it, the mountain politics of it, and that's going to come first with him. He knows it, and he's dedicated to it. He's brought up, he's totally a Republican. And I think he'll look a lot of what's best for the Republican Party type than he will what's best for the state. I think he'd have a tendency to weigh it to the Republican than he would be best for the state. Whereas I think Bowles would have been entirely opposite. I think Bowles could have cared less about the so-called Democratic Party as such if it was not right for the state, period. And he would have acted accordingly. I don't think Holzhauser would.
Do you think?
And I think Bowles would have brought in Republicans if they were better people, and kept better people as such, than Holzhauser in playing the game.
Do you think Holzhauser rode in on Helms' coattails?
No. I don't think it hurt him, but I don't think so.
Can you give us your evaluation of that election? What do you think caused the defeat of Bowles and Galifianakis?
Well, on the Galifianakis, I think you have, like all of you know, I think the Nixon popularity, Nixon visit. Nick wasn't well known. He was a tremendous campaigner, one-on-one, the finest in the world, just the finest in the world. But you can't run 100 counties one-on-one. Lack of money, no organization, or practically none. He didn't need it in the primary because his opposition was just about as bad off. Plus that age factor, and I think that brought him in then, Dick, to win. But I'd say he was just sort of caught up in the swing, somewhat in the fall, with the McGovern, Nixon. Nick wasn't too well known. Helms, about like how Helms was, Wallace was talking in the state with Sanford, just pretty much that same kind of a vote was going for Helms like it did against Nick. I'm not sure Nick could have done a great deal about it, what I'm saying. I think he was beat. I'm not sure money would have made the difference, organization would have made the difference, or issues would have made the difference. I think he was just caught and he was beat, period, under the circumstances. On the bowls, if I had, you name it, it's there, why you lose, and you well know. I just have to say that I thought Bowles ran a beautiful race the first two rounds, really beautiful. I don't know much you've done. Of course, you never know much you do differently when you win. But that was a beautiful race from nowhere to where he came. I personally feel like, I'm not sure how deep your role, I just assume, but yours and Bowles, I would have to say that I couldn't find it anywhere else. Organization, anything else, spasmodic, you know, just a little here and there. But it was basically Bowles, the money, and the layout of the campaign as he came over that won it. There wasn't even a close second, as I saw. Wasn't a close second anyway. You had all that Nick had going against him, but I do feel like Skipper could have won. Again, I was not in the camp, and I do not know, you know, I'm not the inner circle, so it was really not fair for me because I do not know all the facts. But you would, if you say, if you'd called us in type, you say us, broad us, we, I think we would have played it a lot differently. If you had one thing, I think, it, other than the Nixon visit, Nixon's popularity, I think the second round probably did you more harm than anything else, the Bowles. It exposed him. He had to spend the money. He came across. People got a little tired again. I think that probably did more harm than one thing. It's your second round that you shouldn't have had. There was no reason for it, but it hurt. The spoiler, he spoiled it. No question about that. I think he finally beat you in the fall with it. Then, for whatever it was, right or wrong, after the second round with the victory, then you had a number of Democratic candidates all the way up and down the line, Council of State, Congress, etc. For whatever it's worth, you had the Taylor crowd. But somehow they all, by and large, got the feeling that Bowles was going to run his campaign, period. I'm not saying he ought to have embraced McGovern or what, but somehow or another they felt no leadership, no guidance, no nothing, except they were not wanted. And I think enough of this, and it doesn't take a lot when you're having a hell of a swing anyhow, that you can't afford even, you could. I think Bowles figured he had it won. There was no way for him to be beat. And as such, he didn't need to do anything anywhere except pick up money. And basically, that's what I picked up. Money, forget any other thing. 5 minutes, $1,000, all that rubbed off. It didn't set me up. He didn't go with his hat and his hat.